Dr. Roger Thompson. I'm a dairy veterinarian. Sold my veterinary service last year, and so now I'm full-time consulting nationally and some international travel. My focus is milk quality and milking system evaluations.
This week out at the Great Lakes Regional Dairy Conference, looking at some of those milk quality components and how dairy farmers can continue to improve, what are some of the topics that you've been discussing with farmers this week?
Certainly, making more money is essential, and mastitis has always been identified as the most expensive disease on a dairy farm. But with that said, not every dairy farmer, I think, either really believes that because they don't see the loss, it's kind of hidden, or they do see it but can be very frustrated on how to deal with it. Like most diseases, mastitis doesn't have a single cure point. Everyone wants a silver bullet. But to do one thing 100% better when it comes to improving milk quality usually doesn't get you the results you want. It's hard because you got to do 100 things 1% better, and then you can improve milk quality, reduce mastitis. So that's a challenge. That's what's been talked about in some of the sessions the last 2 days.
Michigan in general has a higher milk quality compared to some other areas of the country. What is different about this region? What are the farmers doing maybe that could be different?
Really good question. Some of it's been driven by one of our largest co-ops in Michigan, and they've had a decades-long emphasis on milk quality. That would be the MMPA group. And with Tom Harriman's used to be heading up their milk quality department, now Steve Lehman is doing it. That co-op has dedicated money and human beings to support the members of the MMPA. It's been one of the drivers that has helped the statewide somatic cell count to continue to drop down and be low. I would also submit that we have good weather here, like most upper Midwest states, and we still have plenty of people using sand as bedding, and new, never used sand, clean sand, is still the gold standard for cows to lay on, and will generate the best milk quality results.
When you look at trends where milk quality is headed, do you see other states coming into that model of Michigan, or are there other ways milk quality is getting improved?
That's a good question. There's certainly growth from the west to the east. I mean, I've been in dairying all my life, grew up on a dairy farm, have been a veterinarian for almost 40 years, so I've watched the dairy industry kind of start in the east and Midwest and went to the west, and California certainly is still a major player, number one dairy milk producer. But environmental pressures and other things out there in California are bringing dairy production back to maybe the mountain area or the plains area. But in those states, they have some challenges with milk quality because they're kind of bringing the California farm model to areas of the country that have more challenging weather. So open lots in southwest Kansas, open lots in Texas and New Mexico. When the weather's good, beautiful, great milk quality, but they get these storms that roll through there that California often never got. Idaho is the same thing, high plains desert kind of conditions. So they have some challenges, mastitis-wise and milk quality-wise, that are just relentless. Now, they can get good cell counts, but a lot of these herds are still struggling with a high clinical rate. Dr. Pam Ruge that spoke this morning nailed it perfectly there, that bulk tank cell count is only one of the two numbers you better look at on your dairy farm. The other would be, what is my clinical mastitis rate? Or if I have cell count data, my new infection rate. I have to have both those numbers to know what I'm really doing on my farm. And some of these big places are looking at one of those and not the other.
As there is a greater emphasis on antibiotics used in agriculture from the consumer side, how important do you think it is farmers tackle mastitis and other uses that could really connect to consumer trends?
Very important. So the logical thing to say is prevention is superior to treatment. Most diseases in humans and animals, that's true. Stay healthy, don't try to fight a disease. When it comes to mastitis, the antibiotic residue issue is always right there, because putting an antibiotic up in the quarter is still the gold standard for treating an infection, and the residues are readily apparent in the milk coming out. So in general, the proposition of treating less, preventing more, is the logical way to go in enhancing milk quality. The consuming public deserves it. The consuming public is demanding it these days. The processors are demanding it. They want a lower cell count for a little more shelf life. When you think about a retail company like Walmart, the last I knew, over 30% of our groceries were coming through Walmart stores. Think of the amount of milk they have on their shelf. Think of the shelf life they have if they have a certain quality of raw milk coming into the processing plants, say 15 days, 16 days. What if they had a lower cell count that would give them a higher shelf life? And Walmart could have milk that sat on their shelf 17 days and still good. That's huge for them, a huge savings in not having to dump milk. And that comes way back to the farm-based, where we have the responsibility to send as good a product as we possibly can off the farm. There's almost nothing we do to the milk once it leaves the farm to make it better. We can pasteurize it, homogenize it, put flavorings in it, but still, it's almost nothing changes much once it leaves the farm. So we have to send a good product off the farm. And it's a challenge.
Talking about some of those prevention measures, what are some areas if farmers aren't already paying attention to that would really improve that milk quality?
Mastitis still is a complex but very simple disease. It's bacteria on the teat end of the cow. That's the equation. And I like to explain it. It's all about exposure versus resistance. Imagine a teeter-totter of exposure and resistance. If I can increase resistance, healthy cows, robust immune system, healthy teats and teat ends, then the risk of mastitis bends in the right way down. If I can reduce the exposure, fewer bacteria in the teat ends, clean cows, clean environment, good prep procedures before I put the units on, that bends the curve down. All of those things are going to reduce the risk for new cases of clinical mastitis and require less antibiotics and produce a better product. Execution of these simple little things and the teeter-totter is the challenge. Weather, other things come along, moldy feeds based on, you know, tough harvest conditions one year versus another year. They all come into play, and so you get good results one year, the next year you're having problems. Talk to a dairyman, what changed? Nothing. I'm doing the same thing. But this exposure resistance balance act is always changing. The bacteria are relentless. They don't care.
How much room do you think there is to reduce some of the somatic cell counts from where we're at now? And, you know, what's the longevity of that as we move looking at long-term trends?
So often the question rolls around, can a somatic cell count, say, on an individual cow be too low? The idea there would be, if I don't have the white blood cells that are my defenders against bacteria, if I don't have enough of those in the teat end, down at the base of the teat end by the street canal, my cow might be at greater risk for a clinical mastitis. But the truth be told, that no, a healthy cow that has a robust immune system is storing up their white blood cells in parts of the body where they are ready to go out and fight an infection. So high cell count in the udder doesn't mean I'm fighting mastitis more. It means I've got more mastitis I'm fighting, if that makes sense. So a cell count, we can still push down on our cell counts and still have very healthy cattle. When we talk about a 200,000 cell count, say on an individual cow, that's always been the cut point. For under 200,000, we probably have a clean udder, non-infected udder. Above 200,000 cell count, you're suspicious that cows may be fighting an infection. But when we take that same number to the bulk tank and we say, a 200,000 cell count for my bulk tank, that should be good. That should be a good number. But realize a part of my herd is above 200,000 because that's an average, a numeric average. So instead of averages, we need to look at trends. We need to look at the distribution. Do I have, how many cows do I have above 200,000 in my herd? And how many do I have below 100,000? I want more below 200,000. I want that in that 100,000 range, 50,000 range. So we're doing better. Michigan's proud to say doing a very good job on that, but there's still room to do even more.
And any last thoughts to wrap us up with as farmers move ahead?
The consuming public still wants a quality product, a quality dairy food product of all the different things we can do with milk that are amazing, They want something that they can trust, that they know has no risk of any antibiotics coming in, has a long shelf life, and is wholesome for their kids. And we have the responsibility and opportunity to do that. In addition, exporting dairy products out of the U.S. is not just a fun thing to talk about anymore. It's a necessity to, for the survival of our domestic dairy production. The last I knew, we're at 14-16% export again, and we need even more. I look at our milk price, and so the quality of our products now has to meet the demands of what the EU wants, what China wants, what other countries want for our dairy products. Our dairy products are coveted around the world because they know we have high standards. But things like some spore formation in some of our powders, cell counts, any residue issue, we don't have any room for anything like that to happen. So we have to keep being diligent on producing high quality milk that's good for the whole world, not just the U.S.